Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Tonight we are starting week 2 of a many week long series. We're still kind of introducing the topic. Some of you were here last week, some were not. I'll review so that you're not lost. But I want you to stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Keep your Bibles out. We are going to use them tonight. Amen. And that's one thing I get excited about. 2 Corinthians 6, look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God, saith the Lord Almighty. Tonight, I'm going to review a little bit. We're still kind of introducing the topic of separation. Now, before you turn me off, you know, we Baptists have a way of, okay, I don't like that subject. I'll sit here and look like I'm listening, but I'm not listening. If you'll pay attention with me, I think I can help you. It's probably the most misunderstood teaching anywhere. And yet it permeates every avenue of the Christian life. Once you finally understand it, and we get into this more and more, you'll see what I'm saying. Most every person, when I say the term separation, here's what you think of. Okay, no smoking, no drinking, no women wearing breeches, no men with long hair, and no immorality. That's about as far as you know what separation is. That is so far down on the list of things, technically it's not even on the list of separation. We have a misconception about what separation is. Now, separation is not for you. I said this last week. It is not a badge that you wear saying, look at me. It is for you so that you can live close enough to God to do the will of God so that you can reach more people and help more people. Now, I said this in review. Number one, man was created to bring glory to God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. For thy pleasure we are and were created. Okay? We were created to bring glory to God. Now listen to me. Humanism, and especially evolution, has done more to destroy separation in our world than any other thing. You say, what do you mean? Evolution. Evolution states there is no God, there is no creator, and everything is evolving of itself. That means man can get the glory for what he is and does not need to give glory to God. Evolution is a religion. It is not a science. Evolution has nothing to do with science. I said this last week. I checked it again today. It's still true. There's a lawyer in California who has put $1 million out to any evolutionist scientist who will go before a judge and a jury, present the case on a legal battle whether creation or evolution is true. He's had it out there for 3 years. Nobody will take him up. Say why? Because they can't prove it. There's not a legal case for it. There's not enough burden of proof to prove it. Now, we talked about God created man for himself. And I won't go into all those things. Secondly, sin destroyed the fellowship between God and man. If we went back to Genesis chapter 3, the first thing man did after he sinned was hide from God. And in that hiding from God, it separated man and God. It broke the fellowship between God and man. You see, sin breaks that fellowship. That's why pride is so bad. When we say, well, look what I did, it's not what you did, it's what God did. Even in our good deeds, we're still sinful. Next, number three. This is where we kind of left off. I'll review, and here we're going to jump into new material. Next, God is jealous of anything that takes us away from him. God is jealous of anything that takes us away from him. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. all the way back to Exodus chapter 20. I'll use a passage that's familiar to you. We know this is the giving of the Ten Commandments. God is there on Mount Sinai with Moses, and God is speaking these words to Moses, as well as God will take his finger and write it into the tables of stone that he has there for Moses. Exodus 20, verse number 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 5, God says, I am a jealous God. I want you to notice something here. That word jealous is not a sinful word. He said, I don't want you to have anything that would come between you and me. He said, I have paid a pretty heavy price and am paying a heavy price for you and I to have fellowship, and I know what will destroy you, so I don't want you to have those things before me. I am jealous of your time. I am jealous of your life. Now, we could go to Exodus 34, verses 14 through 17. There's a verse in there that says, I am the Lord thy God, my name is jealous. Now, that's not a direct quote. Don't hold me to that word for word. But it says, my name is jealous, with a capital J. Okay? God wants the saved people to separate from everything that from the world that will keep you from fellowship with him and following his will. That's all it is. Let me show you what I mean. That is why salvation is so important to God. Do you know what salvation means to God? Not to you, but to God. Here is one of God's people, but he won't get saved. He's a dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten, wife-beaten sinner, amen? She deserved it, though, right? Sounds like somebody else is going to get beat before the night's over. If he chooses not to get saved, he dies and goes to hell. I'm not going to say what I was thinking there. That would not be good, especially on tape. And that means hell is total separation from God. It means when he dies, he will never see God except for the judgment, great white throne judgment. So for eternity, God will have his back to him, and there is no ability for fellowship. God created him to fellowship with him, though. That's why God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people, thank you, Brother Matt, God wants people to get saved, because that salvation is what brings that fellowship between the creation and the Creator back together. God wants every human being saved because he created every human being to fellowship with him. That is one reason why salvation is so important to God. Hell is total separation from God. I preached this several months ago. We hear about Jesus suffering our hell on the cross. He did. He did not die and go to hell. His hell on the cross was the last 3 hours when God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their back to him. The world went dark, and that's when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God the Father and my God the Holy Ghost, why have you left me alone? You have turned your back on me, you have separated from me, and we have no fellowship, no communion for these hours. That was the hell he suffered. It wasn't fire. It wasn't going to the place called Hades. He suffered our hell by total absence of the presence of God in his life. The worst part of hell is not the fire. It's the absence of God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Salvation makes us able to get back in fellowship with God. Can I tell you how much God loves you? Not only did he give you your life to fellowship with you, but he gave us Jesus Christ to restore the fellowship that we lost through sin. Listen very carefully here. The lost world hates God. Did you ever notice that? The lost world does not want God. The lost world goes away from God so that they don't have to acknowledge that they need God. Oh, you bunch of weak Christians, that's just a crutch that you guys lean on. You're a bunch of weaklings. All that faith stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, where you work. They rely on alcohol, cigarettes. They rely on themselves. Boy, what a weak God that is. You see, listen to this statement. The lost world does not want to admit they need a God, so they have works salvation. Works salvation is separation. They have separated themselves to say, this is how I'm going to get there. I don't care what God wants. You can ask any religious person. If it's works-based, it's a separation. They are trying to separate themselves to be good enough to get to heaven. And hopefully the good outweighs the bad. Guess what? Wrong answer. They are trying to be God themselves. And they are trying to, by separation, earn salvation. And you don't earn salvation. It is a free gift. Now, he created us to praise him and bought us back to praise him. Then why don't we do it? Just think about it for a second. Look how much God paid for you to fellowship with him. Why don't you do it? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time God answered one of your prayers? I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and we were talking. I said, Doc, I've been praying for 13 days about something for you in particular. I said, God just answered it. Here it is. Took me 13 days, but God answered it. Amen. I've had answers to prayer today. Say, how is that? Because I decided I was going to talk to him. Why is it that reading our Bible is so hard? Look what God did to give you the Word of God. If we're supposed to praise him, if we're supposed to fellowship with him, why is it the hardest thing we do? Next. Point number four. Everybody doing all right? Everybody smile. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay, here we go. Number four. Every human being believes in separation. I want you to get that statement. Every human being believes in separation. Let me show you what I mean. I'll prove it to you the right way. If I walked up to his wife, put my arm around her, started kissing on her like I would my wife, guess what? There's going to be a fight. Say why? Because they have separated themselves and I'm separated to her. Is that not what it's supposed to be? So we believe in separation. We're not like a bunch of barnyard animals that we run around and hugging and kissing on everybody. God said people were to be married, not animals. Thank you, Brother Matt. That means we all believe in separation. Let me show you what I mean. That means, okay, I can correct my kids. And there's certain level of correction I can do that nobody else can do. You cross that line, we'll have words. Say, what do you mean? You cross the line, you'll find out. No, that means you ought to keep your child-rearing ideas and nose to yourself. I have no right to go around correcting everybody's kids. Now, I might slow them down from running around between the chairs and knocking the elderly people over and stuff. If your kids are running through the auditorium, Brother Bush is going to say, hey, stop running. By the way, boys and girls, you're not supposed to run in the auditorium. Not supposed to run in church. Okay? That's just a common courtesy. If that doesn't work, I'll go find a mommy or daddy and take care of it. Now, if it was mine, I'd take care of it a different way. We'd be taking a walk to a certain part of the church building, and we would have the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge, amen? Say, what is that? See me later, I'll help you with it, okay? But I don't have the right to discipline your kids that way. So you believe in separation. Now, there's times we'd like to correct the neighborhood kids, amen? But we can't. Say, why? They're not ours. So you believe in separation. So do they. Have you ever noticed that even the lost world believes in separation? Now, in Martinsburg, we don't see it as much, but you do see it here. But you go to a bigger city. Let me show you what I mean. You have the Chinese section of town. You have the black section of town. You have the Polish section of town. That's where everybody in all the streets are named Ski. Okay? You got the Italian section of town. You got the Spanish section of town. In West Virginia, we got the redneck section of town. Okay? That's the whole state. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You go to any big city, and it naturally, by the way, they didn't set the city up that way. People naturally congregate to people that are like them. That's why the desegregation of the 60s and 70s never worked. Well, let's bust the kids from this part of town to that part of town so we can integrate everything and we can all be one big happy family. Still didn't work, did it? I know Chicago. I hate that city with a passion. I've spent too many years of my life up there. But I know this, Southside is not a place for a person of my lack of color. It is a very dark part of town. You get up, amen, Brother Stoltz. You get up towards the north central part. You get up near Midway Airport, and one part of it's Spanish, and the other part is the Polish part of town. Then you got even within the Spanish sections, you got the Mexican section and the Puerto Rican section, amen. And those two don't mix at all. You get to the north side, that's where all the mafia people live, and that's where all the Italians are. Now, y'all laughing at me, but I know what I'm talking about. Now, wait a minute, that's just Chicago. You got Chinatown. Every major city in America has Chinatown. Why? Because that's where all the Chinese people congregate. That's called separation. It's not that we set the cities up to do that. That's how it has grown through the years. Let's go to another illustration. Bathrooms. How do you know which one to walk into? It's not like home where everybody uses the same one. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, buddy. We know which sign's on the door. If I walked into the ladies' room tonight before church or after church, it's going to be a squalling mess, amen, for more than one reason. I'm going to be the one squalling and getting out of there. Wait a minute. We in America even have separated it to where there's even partitions between all of the bathroom facilities because we believe in separation. Now, don't tell me that even lost, guess what? Did you know that if you go to Walmart, lost men don't walk into the ladies' bathroom? And lost women don't walk into the men's room? Say why? Because we believe in separation. Let me show you what I mean. Do you realize that we have first and last names all over the world because of separation? It's called family. Do you know that, apart from West Virginia, not everybody has the last name? That was pretty good. Sorry. Let's face it. Everybody has a different last name. You say, why? And by the way, there's One, two, three, four, five. There's six of us tonight with the last name of Bush, and we all have a different first name. Say, what is that separation? How many of you have a door and a lock on your house? Raise your hand. Okay? Or either or, okay? Guess what? You believe in separation. You know, the neighbors don't just walk into your house anytime they want, go get whatever they want, do whatever they want, and leave whenever they want. Say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. You believe in separation. And so do lost people. Say, this is ridiculous, Brother Bush. That's what separation is. Okay. Financially, you believe in separation. You know, we don't have access to everybody's bank account like President Obama does. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but it was worth it. Do you know that we all have security and separation of our finances, and there's protections on all those things? You say, why? Because we believe in separation. What country was it recently? Was it Greece, where they just took about 60% of everybody's bank accounts? Cyprus, that's it. I knew it was over in that part of the world. Cyprus, just within the last month, they, in order to not go bankrupt as a country, they just confiscated almost 60% of everybody's assets in the country. Ooh. If that's America, that's why they want gun control, amen? So, that, and by the way, and it failed today, just so you know. Now listen very carefully. We have laws that prohibit stealing or taking what's not yours. If you walked into Walmart, got all your groceries, and just went out to your car and put them in, didn't pay for anything, you're going to eventually go to jail. Say, why? Stealing? Well, that's discrimination. I should be able to do it because Walmart's got more than I have. That's what the government says. Do you know that products have copyrights on them so that you can't steal from another company? Everybody believes in, by the way, that's why there's copyrights on CDs. That's why there's copyrights on books. You know, that's why we're not supposed to copy somebody else's material and sell it as our own. That's why you don't download songs and distribute them and sell them. You say, what is that? That's stealing money from someone who put the time and the money into producing that. And by the way, I'm not for pirated anything, just so you know. I'm against it. I'm against pirated music, whether it be Christian or non-Christian. Somebody went through the time and the effort and paid the expense to make that. Why do you want to cheat them out of what they did? Boy, do I feel like I'm on an island by myself. Everybody believes in separation. Now, everybody doing okay? Take your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 2. Right after the book of Timothy, Titus chapter 2. Last point for tonight, and I might even get you out a few minutes early. Might. He saved us to separate us to be His. He saved us to separate us to be His. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all the iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God saved us to separate us to be His. My wife and I have three children. Two normal and one that's not. No, we have three children. We paid for those puppies. We've paid for those puppies all along. Can't wait for those puppies to leave home. Amen. Pay their own way. But may I say this? God gave them to us. We give them back to God. But we have been paying for it all along. Hopefully, eventually, the payoff comes back. Amen. Maybe they'll pick a good nursing home for me someday. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You catch that one by slow freight. Some of you is too real. Amen. God, separation is not a list of God's pet peeves. Okay? Most of you think that separation means the preacher's got a list of things that he doesn't like, and God's got a list of things he doesn't like, and he just doesn't want you to have any fun in life. Now, there are certain things that bother me in life. They're not sinful, but they're just irritating. Those of you that sat in my classes, I can't stand this while I teach, okay? I throw books at people that click their pens while I preach. My daughter's about to get it right now, okay? That's a pet peeve, okay? That irritates me. I know everybody's going to do it now, the rest of the church service, right? Get it over with now, because I've got plenty of songbooks to throw, amen? Now, that's a pet peeve of mine. I just don't like it. You know, and people, it's a nervous habit for some people. You know, they just sit there and go like this. I'm thinking, will you quit that? That's bothering the snot out of me. Just shut that stupid thing up. I had some kids in class, I threw all of their click pens away and got them stick pens because I wouldn't let them sit in class with them. Say, you wouldn't do that. Yes, I did. I can't stand it. And God bless you. I don't chew gum. There's nothing wrong with chewing gum. I just don't like it. If it's going in here and I'm going to chew on it, I'm going to swallow it and get something out of it. Amen? I don't like it. But I can't stand when people, you know, they pop their gum. Pop, 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 and pop, 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 pop. Man, forget that mess. Okay? That drives me nuts. Yeah, hang on. Now, I just don't enjoy that. Okay? That's a pet peeve. Can I tell you something? God doesn't have a list of those and say, okay, that's what you're to separate from. A pet peeve is something that irritates you, but it's not necessarily wrong. A pet peeve is somebody that chews at the table with their mouth open. Amen. Don't do that. Okay? I just don't like that. There's just something about somebody chewing food with their mouth. And you know, if you got to hear them chew it, something's not right. Okay? That's just me. Boys and girls, keep your mouth shut when you chew your food. Amen? Moms and dads, keep your mouth shut when you chew your food. Amen? Boys and girls, I finally got mom and dad for you, all right? Now, listen to me. Those are pet peeves. There's nothing sinful about that. Now, separation means this. God saved you to separate you to be his. When I proposed to my wife, and on June 24th, 1989, we walked down the aisle, Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, and we got married, I, for lack of better terminology, I purchased her, separated us so that we could enjoy each other. That's what God did. He saved us, separated us, so that we could be his people. She took my name that day. And she is forever separated to me so that we can enjoy our fellowship together forever. Is that not what salvation was for? Salvation is a picture of us marrying Christ. He purchased us. We accept that. And we enter that union with him so that we can be his and we take on his name. Now listen to me very carefully here. God knows what things will add sin and continue breaking fellowship with him. God knows what things are in this world that'll break fellowship with him because it will cause us to sin. There's nothing wrong with grapes. There's nothing wrong with grape juice. But you let that stuff rot and start getting fizzy and start fermenting and turning into wine, and there's something wrong with it. Say, what is that? It will create sin which breaks the fellowship with God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those of you that have grown up in the, and I'll use the term in the world, you Christian kids don't understand this as much. But those of you that have lived around drunkards know what I'm talking about. It breaks fellowship. It causes the fellowship to be broken between a lot of different areas of life. But not only that, it breaks the biggest fellowship between God and that person. Smoking will break your fellowship with your God. Say, how could that be? Because when you're smoking, you can't do as much for God because your testimony is tainted. And you're relying on tobacco, not him. We have sinful habits that if we allow it, by the way, everybody look at me for a second here. I'm going to probably go against whatever you've heard in your life, even from some Christian people. A drunkard is not a drunkard forever. A drug addict is not a drug addict forever. That's the world's philosophy. That's worldly psychology. Oh, it's a sickness and you always have it. It's like a cancer and we have it in remission. Hopefully you've been in remission long enough to where it won't come back as strong, but it's always going to be there. No, it's sin. Alcohol is not a disease that you drink. Nobody goes out and drinks the flu. Nobody goes out and drinks cancer. Nobody goes out and drinks leukemia. You say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. So is calling alcoholism a disease. Just like sucking on a cigarette is not a disease. It's a sin. And you become dependent on that. That's just like smoking pot, doing coke, or whatever drug you're doing, whether it's prescription or non-prescription. If you abuse it, it's sin. It's not a disease. I know that goes against what most of your quote-unquote Christian 10-step programs teach you, but 10-step programs, you only need one step. Get right with God. Dry yourself out, get right with God. Period. Well, it's hard. Oh, we wouldn't want to ask you to do anything hard, would we? That's why immorality is wrong. Do you know if you're sleeping around, your fellowship with God is broken? I'm not being unkind here. I'm being factual with you. I don't know people who live immoral lives that walk close to God. They're not walking people down the aisle on a regular basis. They're not praying. They're not reading their Bible. They're not going soul winning regularly. And that is a byproduct of the lack of separation. Listen to me very carefully. That means being with the wrong crowd. Do you know that the wrong crowd will draw you away from God? By the way, the wrong crowd doesn't mean everybody's out there doing quote-unquote sinful things. Just sometimes it's bad Christians. The wrong crowd is not determined by bad that's done. It's by are they getting you closer to God or farther away from him. I have separated, and we'll talk about this one night, something called ecclesiastical separation. That means there's Christians you're not supposed to hang around. I have men from years ago in my life that I don't associate anymore with that are even in the ministry because they don't believe what they used to believe. I have men that I used to work with that no longer believe in the inspiration of the King James Bible, and I don't spend time with them. Would I help them? Yes, I would. Do I love them? Yes, I do. Do I spend time with them? Not at all. Well, they're your friend? Yeah, they're my friend. And they'll stay that way because I don't spend time with them. If I see them, we don't talk about the things we know we disagree about. Say why? Because I want them to be my friend. Our time is separated because I don't want to be drawn into the false doctrines that they're in. Boy, that's good stuff. That's why you got to be careful of what doctrine you listen to. You're going to get sick and tired of this preacher saying, quit listening to the radio preachers. But unless it's Lester Roloff and some of the old-time fundamentalists, shut the stupid thing off. Some of you listen to liberals and don't even know they're liberals. Charles Stanley is a liberal. There's another one. Got a real suave voice from Georgia. What's his name? Oh, can't think of it all of a sudden. What is it? Nobody's going to tell me, huh? You can tell I don't listen to him either, but he's written all kinds of books and stuff. And then you got the James Dobson crowd, the Hocus Pocus on the Family. Folks, he's not a Christian psychologist. Do your homework on James Dobson. He went to the same schools that the secular psychologists went to. He uses the same secular psychology. He just uses a different version of the Bible to prove what he believes. Some of you listen to too much Christian radio. Now, if you've got Lester Roloff on there bellering at you, just let him beller away, man. You get old Oliver B. Green on there shouting at you and yelling at you, let him shout at you a while. But may I say this, just because it says it's Christian doesn't mean it's right doctrine. Just because it says Baptist doesn't mean it's right doctrine. Good night. I know Baptists that are as loony as a Catholic. This is no lie. I know Baptist churches in parts of our country that practice Lent. Baptist churches. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not. You go to the northern part of Minnesota, and the Baptist churches up there, because of all the Lutherans, practice Lent. That's why it's dead as last year's Christmas tree. You say a Baptist church? Yeah, Baptist church. I preached a funeral up there, and we had more revival cut loose at a funeral than they have in church. I'm not kidding. The old pastor walked up to me and said, young man, I could use you up here. I said, no, you couldn't. You wouldn't know what to do with me. He said, no. He said, I'm getting ready to retire. Would you consider? I said, you wouldn't want me up here. I said, it wouldn't snow up here if I came up here. I said, this church would be so hot, it'd be on fire. He said, who do you work for? And I mentioned a few names, and he said, I thought so. He said, but we do need a little of it. I said, no, you need a lot of it. Now, wait a minute. I don't care what the name on the sign says. If it's wrong doctrine, it's wrong doctrine. The day this church starts teaching wrong doctrine, do me a favor, leave. Now, not that you think it's wrong doctrine. Come tell me that what you think is wrong doctrine. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean it's wrong doctrine. I got plenty of scripture to back what I believe. Now listen to me. We are his if we are saved. And we're able to do what he wants if we're saved. Sometimes that means dying to what you want. Doing the will of God means, God, I have things I'd like to do, but I'll do what you want me to do. I'll die to what I want to do what you want. That doesn't mean that when you get saved, you're supposed to surrender to go to Africa and be a missionary to the people that don't wear clothes. But it does mean this, if that's what God wants, you'd be willing to. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that you have to give up everything in life to go into the ministry. I don't believe every saved person is supposed to be in the ministry. I'm tired of mama called, papa sent preachers. They don't make it. If the fire of God's in your bones and God called you, then let's get in. But if not, you just stay in the church and be a good layman, run buses and teach Sunday school classes and be a soul winner and do what you can do. Amen? Now, I think we ought to have a higher percentage of people going into the ministry from our kind of church. But that doesn't mean all of our young people aren't right with God if they don't go in the ministry. Everybody doing okay? I've been in Baptist churches who say if your kids don't go to Bible college and they don't go into ministry, then they're not right with God. And I disagree with that statement. God wants us to do what he wants. Let me finish with this. We were in a big battle in Indiana with Brother Hiles. Go figure. I was on staff. We had gotten into a battle. A preacher had come and preached something in College Chapel that was contrary to that book and literally criticized Brother Hiles in his own pulpit at College Chapel one day. It was not looking good. It was about to explode. Brother Hiles called an emergency staff meeting. We were sitting in the office, and he said, "Fellas, I know so-and-so supposedly said something." He said, "I think that person's a good person." And one of the staff men spoke up to defend Brother Hiles, and he said, "Shut up, I don't need you to defend me." I thought, okay, best thing for me to do is say nothing right now, amen? And he said, "I don't believe that person said what you think they said. But even if they did, he said what he felt like he should say. And he has that right to criticize me." He said, "I'm not asking you men to defend me." He said, "I'm demanding that you don't." He said, "I am going to demand that you live by my principles in this battle." He said, "And if you don't, I will fire you." He said, "You will face criticism from men around the country because you don't rise up and defend me. But you'll lose your job if you do." He said, "Let me take care of it. We're going to be okay on this thing, fellas." Now, I'll be honest with you. I can take a lot, but don't criticize my preacher to me. The fight just comes out naturally. I went back to my office, no lie, 2 hours later, less than 2 hours. My secretary patched a call through to me, a well-known preacher, half of you in this room would know the name or more, called me and said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "About what?" "About so-and-so and what they said in chapel." I said, "I'm going to let Brother Hiles take care of it." He started calling me a coward. He started calling me disloyal. He went down the list for about 5 minutes. I let him burp his barf out all over the place. And I said, "Are you done?" He said, "You're supposed to be Mr. Loyal." I said, "I am." I said, "Less than 2 hours ago, I left his office, and he said, we will live by his principles or we lose our job." "Then you ought to be willing to lose your job." I said, "Okay, you lose your job over it. I'm not. I enjoy working for the man." Now listen to me. I didn't understand that for a long time. I do now. I've been through enough battles. I've had enough people say things about me that aren't true. You say, "What do you do about it?" Nothing. They have the right to say that. I don't expect people to live by my ethics. I don't worry about it. I know what my ethics are. I don't get angry when people don't. I talked to a pastor today, and I said, "Look," I said, "I need to ask you a question, and it's almost on the border of an ethic, but it's not for me, it's for somebody else." I said, "I promise you, once I'm said it, I'm done. I'm not saying another word." I talked to him. He said, "Man, am I glad you called me." He's a friend of mine. I said, "I was worried." He said, "What are you worried about?" He said, "I can't help if I don't know. It's not helping me or anybody here. It was helping somebody else." And he said, "I'm glad you called me." And I said, "Well, it's just a little close to a line of ethics for me." He said, "What?" I said, "You're a pastor. And you're pastoring this person. I just happen to know their need that you didn't know." He said, "How can I pastor them better if I don't know the need? And if they won't tell me, I need somebody to help me." He said, "You're an answer to prayer, not crossing any ethics." I thought, whew. But I was willing to help that person. And, by the way, help that pastor. Now, wait a minute. Separation. Next week, I think I'm going to even teach on this subject. Separation, listen to the statement, isn't something that you separate from. Separation is something you separate to. In the process of separating to something, the separating from something automatically takes place. On June 24th, 1989, when I said I do to that lady right there, I separated myself to her, and I naturally separated from all others. Some of you in your Christian life say, well, I'll separate from all others but that one and that one and that one and that one. But other than that, that's okay. That's how you view separation. Well, it's not that, not that, not that, not that, not that. No, it's that. Amen. Everything else falls aside. Separation is something into someone, not from all these other little things. And when you get that concept down, that's why God said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Light and dark don't commune together. Say, where does separation start? Genesis chapter 1, God divided the light from the day and called the light day and day night. And the evening and morning were the first day. That was the first division. Then he divided the land and the water, called the dry land, dry stuff land, and the water he called seas. Separation starts with creation. The unisex movement has tried to destroy America to where boys don't know what they are and girls don't know what they are. We got men trying to dress like women and women trying to dress like men, and nobody knows what's what. And we wonder why the sodomites now can marry in several different states in our country. We have confused the role so much because there's been no separation. Everybody doing okay? If you live in West Virginia, guess what? You don't pay Maryland tax. And if you live in Maryland, you don't pay West Virginia tax. Say why? Because there's a line that separates. See, even our government believes in separation. Everybody doing okay? Let's get out of our heads this thing of separation is all these little different pet peeves. Let's realize that separation is so that we can get closer to the God that saved us and the God of this book so that we can walk in fellowship with him closer than we ever have. And if you'll get your heart right with him and start fellowshipping with him, all those other little petty things don't matter. Do you know there's not a woman in this church that tempts me? Can I tell you why? Because I'm separated to her. Not a one. I don't think any woman's necessarily ugly, but they're all ugly compared to her, in my book. And if you're not thinking that way, sir, that you're married to one, something's wrong. Say why? Because I'm separated to someone. Guess what? I'm separated to him. That's why it's so good. Folks, separation is not what you think it is. It's not this badge. Well, I wear my hair right. I dress right. I walk right. I say the right things. Look at me. I'm separated. You're an idiot. That's not separation. Guess what? I know people in the world, I know men in the world that wear their hair just like I do. And they're lost. I know men in the world that are lost that have been married longer than I have to the same person. I know men in the world that don't drink, don't carouse. They're good, moral, decent people. That doesn't mean they're separated. Y'all doing okay? Let me ask you a question. He bought you and saved you to fellowship with him. How's your fellowship with him? That's the key. How's your fellowship? You show me a marriage that's struggling, and I'll show you a husband and a wife that aren't communicating with each other. They're not fellowshipping. Show me where there's constant bickering and fighting and fussing and feuding, and I'll show you a love problem because... And by the way, probably one or both isn't quite right with God either. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. By the way, that's why 50% of all marriages in America end in divorce. Because we have a godless society. The closer I get to God, the closer I get to her. Wow, that's amazing how that works. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your walk with him? How is your walk with your God? How's your fellowship with him? Do you spend time with him?